And this is the longest prelude to a song ever. Maybe this live version. Ain't that a shame, Cheap Trick? It's a shame I have to cut it off because it's gone a minute now. So we're going to leave it at that. Jason's classic cut on a Thursday. All right, Chris, listener Chris, I asked Jason to play Prince on a classic cut, and he said, why should I? Ooh. I leave editorial discretion. That's the one area. It's the one area where Jason gets to make the decisions. Obviously, I'm not going to use this person's name. They wrote in, and I haven't been able to confirm this. They say they're a law enforcement officer. I did a quick search of their name. I don't know what agency they're an officer for, other than they say they are a police officer. And they disagree with what they see on the video that we've been discussing. There was a very easy alternative to how Officer Wicklund handled the situation. We deal with crowds all the time, and we take the subject by the arm, walk him across the street away from the crowd. I do want to address the wife of a police officer who called just before the news. She's right. That's why I understand where the union's coming from, where they didn't want the video shown. Yeah, we're done with this, Jason. We're on to other things. I just want to finish up on this. She's right. Police get a bad rap, even if this is inappropriate. And I'm not saying that. But even if this does turn out to be judged inappropriate, I disagree with callers who say it's getting to be more and more and more and more and more cops. On the other hand, we bestow police officers with a tremendous amount of trust. Tremendous amount of trust. And I continue to trust them and support them, although I do know that there are those who do not live up to that. I know that. I still believe it is a tiny, tiny minority of law enforcement officers. And again, I want to be clear, I am not saying that it was excessive force. I am, unlike a whole lot of other people, I am withholding judgment on that. I'm also not saying it isn't. I'm withholding judgment on that until an investigation is complete. I want to switch gears in this hour. As you know, Congressman Paul Ryan has taken tremendous pressure, been under tremendous pressure, taken a lot of heat for things he has said about poverty. He said things that the left is trying to say is racist. He talked about a culture in the inner city, and that does usually mean black, although he didn't say that, that isn't excited about working. Now, he made it much more coherently than I'm stating it here, but this was painted as that he was saying all blacks are lazy. Next week, Paul Ryan will meet with members of the Congressional Black Caucus to discuss strategies for alleviating poverty. The closed-door meeting has been in the works since last month when Ryan stirred controversy by saying poverty is caused by a tailspin of culture, particularly in inner cities, where generations of men are not even thinking about working or learning to value the culture of work. Allow me to read that again. A tailspin of culture, particularly in inner cities, where generations of men are not even thinking about working or learning to value the culture of work. CBC leaders denounced the remarks and later invited Ryan to meet the group to discuss ways Congress could help the poor become more prosperous. Ryan was quick to accept, and the much-anticipated gathering is slated for Wednesday of next week, just a few hours after Ryan is scheduled to hold a budget committee hearing on the same topic. Gwen Moore of Wisconsin, a member of both the CBC and the Budget Committee, said this week that the CBC members will challenge Ryan's assumptions about poverty's roots while pushing specific policy proposals aimed at helping alleviate the problem. His take on talking about poverty is to say we spend billions or trillions of dollars in poverty programs and poverty won, Moore said during a press call, and we see that essentially as him playing with statistics or numbers because, in fact, these poverty programs have helped raise people into the middle class. No, they haven't. I'm not even going to get into that. But basically, he's been painted as an out-of-touch white guy that just doesn't understand. Now, let me read these. Listen carefully to this paragraph. I know black contractors who've gone out of business because their black workers were not prompt or had negative attitudes. I know black workers who take pride about going to work any hour they feel like it, taking the day off whenever they feel like it. Many leaders who are black and many white liberals will object to my discussing these things in public. But the decadence in the black community is already in the headlines. The only question is, what should we do about it? Would you say that's more powerful than what Paul Ryan said? I think it's far more powerful than what Paul Ryan said. Jason, were you busy over there working and didn't hear it? I'm going to read it again and listen closely. I know black contractors who have gone out of business because their black workers weren't prompt, had negative attitudes. I know black workers who take pride about going to work any hour they feel like, taking the day off when they feel like it. Many leaders who are black and many white liberals will object to my discussing these things in public. But the decadence, that's a powerful word, the decadence in the black community is already in the headlines. The only question is, what should we do about it? You think that's more damning of the black community than Paul Ryan's comments? I think so. That is the Reverend Jesse Jackson in 1976. Nearly 40 years ago. That should be played everywhere. Over the weekend, there was an interview. The Wall Street Journal does its weekend interview. They interviewed Robert L. Woodson Sr., no-nonsense black conservative who heads the Center for Neighborhood Enterprise. Now, besides pointing out those comments by the Reverend Jackson, Woodson, I don't know how many people know this, Paul Ryan didn't just start shooting his mouth off about poverty, that he's really looked into this. He knows a thing or two about the culture, the nation's inner cities, and Mr. Ryan. Paul approached me about a year ago, says Mr. Woodson, sitting recently in his Washington office. He knows we have groups all across the country that deal with the plight of the poor. He asked me to take him on a listening tour, he said. I'd like to learn about the alternatives to what we're already doing. And I know you have been involved in assisting people at the local level. Mr. Woodson agreed, but warned that there would be a time commitment. I said to his staff, I don't do drive-bys. So he's got to give me an entire day. If you're serious, you'll put in the time. And he did. I've taken him on 12 trips, all to high-crime, drug-infested neighborhoods. And he was not just touched, but blown away by what he saw. How many people know that Paul Ryan dedicated that kind of time to going into the inner cities and really learning the problem? He wasn't just talking out of his you-know-what. You-know-what, right? He wasn't talking out of that. He was saying, look, I saw this with my own eyes. And Woodson is someone in the black community who recognizes that Ryan is right. There are those in the black community that recognize that. It's a great interview. I couldn't begin to read the whole thing. If you want to Google it, it's probably subscription. I didn't check. I read it in the print edition. A Black Conservative's War on Poverty. Woodson is someone who agrees entirely with Ryan. Ryan reached out to him, and Ryan went into these neighborhoods. Ryan isn't a racist. Ryan knows that the current way failed. Which leads me to another topic. Speaking of the failed war on poverty, you know what might be one of the best weapons we have on poverty to fight poverty? The very, very, very best weapon in our society? Walmart. There's nothing wrong with your radio. Well, maybe there is, I don't know. But if you heard me say Walmart, your radio's working just fine. I will make that case in 5 minutes. It's 10:16.
Things Jerry Bader, jerrybadershow.com.